Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From the 8th chapter, we will read verses 19 through 21. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1474. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 8:19. Then Jesus' mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told Jesus by some who said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But Jesus answered and said to them, "My mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. In John, the 15th chapter, the 13th verse, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for friends." There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for another. That's the risk our mothers took to give us life. Those who currently do mortality statistics call it maternal mortality. It pertains to those who die from pregnancy problems or childbirth or complications following childbirth. As you would suppose, the figures from ancient times are obscure. It's thought that in human history, more than 30% of birth mothers died during childbirth or afterwards with following complications. During certain times in our history, that was the case. As recently as 2017, the World Health Organization cited 300,000 maternal deaths. That's 800 deaths daily related to childbirth. Even in the United States in 2021, there were 1,205 women who died of maternal causes. There are many factors that enter into these figures. With the awareness that most of these deaths were avoidable, some are working to see that every mother counts. Our first mother was Eve. God told her, "In pain you shall bring forth children." Yet there was joy when she conceived from Adam and bore Cain. She gave God the credit as she said, "I have acquired a man from the Lord." There are a couple of instances when the pain of childbirth was so strong that the mothers reflected it in the names. Rachel, wife of Jacob, had given birth to Joseph. As they journeyed, she went into hard labor with her second baby. We read in Genesis 35:16 through 19, they journeyed from Bethel. When there was but a little distance to go, Rachel labored in childbirth, and she had hard labor. Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you shall have this son also." So it was as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. But his father called him Benjamin, son of the right hand. In 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10, we read of Jabez. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and you would enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. We all want the blessings of our mothers. Sometimes they are in so much pain they do not have it to give. Trust God. Sometimes someone will step forward and give us a blessing, such as Jacob did when he called his son of the right hand rather than son of my sorrow. Or as in the case of Jabez, we can ask God to bless us and to make us a blessing instead of bringing pain or harm. The name Jabez literally means he will cause pain. He did not want to bring pain or harm to others, so he asked God to keep him from evil so that he would not cause pain. Rather than living a life stifled by pain and suffering, God enlarged his borders and enabled Jabez to do good. We can ask God to bless us and help us to be a blessing even when others have not blessed us. We can ask God to call us blessed. In the book of Judges, we even read of a mother who, as far as we know, never gave birth to a child. In Judges, the 4th chapter, we read of Deborah. She was a judge and a prophetess. In Judges 5:7, we read, I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Deborah was a mother to Israel. A mother is more than the one that physically births the child. Motherhood suggests nurture, care, protection, guidance, wisdom, and love. God's little devotional book for moms states, every mother has the breathtaking privilege of sharing with God in the creation of a new life. She helps bring into existence a soul that will endure for all eternity. In Psalm 139, a psalm of David, we read these words, O Lord, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. At one time, only God was privileged to peer into that inner chamber and see the baby being formed. Today, God has blessed us with the understanding, the technology of ultrasound to peek inside the secret place. The sonogram or the picture surprises us at how clear and soon the embryo is growing and becoming a baby. Recently, I was talking with a woman who's expecting to become a great-grandmother. She was chuckling and shaking her head at the upcoming party. The ultrasound has been done, but the sonogram or the results were not shown to either the mother or father. Instead, the technician gave it to them in a sealed envelope. They'll take it to a baker who will make cupcakes, and one of those cupcakes will be either an indicator of pink for a girl or blue for a boy, and select family and friends will gather for a gender reveal party. Each will select a cupcake. As they open their cupcakes, one will find the secret. They will show it to the mother and father. Or sometimes everyone discovers the good news at the same time, as all cupcakes are filled with either blue or pink filling. Have you ever wondered why the color blue is used for baby boys? Centuries ago, it was commonly believed that satanic spirits hovered above nurseries waiting for a chance to enter the bodies of young children. It was also believed that these evil spirits could be repelled by the color blue, the color of the heavens. Since it was felt to be of crucial importance to protect young boys, it became the custom to dress them in blue to ward off any evil spirits lurking about. Much later, so that baby girls would also have a color, it was decided to assign them the color pink, the color of the rose. Interesting how we latch on and carry forward traditions. Gender reveal parties may make us smile, or they may even seem silly, but you know, God had a few such reveals. Rather than ultrasound technicians and bakers, God used angels. In Genesis 18:10, an angel revealed to Abraham that his wife Sarah would have a son. It was so astonishing at their ages of him 100 and her 90 that Sarah laughed. In Genesis 25:23, Rebekah required of the Lord at the struggle going on within her. The Lord revealed to her that she had two peoples struggling within her. Her twin boys would become two nations. In Judges 13, the angel of the Lord told Manoah's wife, a woman without children, that she would conceive and bear a son. She was told not to drink wine or eat anything unclean. God knew, before any humans did, that the mother's intake feeds the baby. We're a little disappointed that we do not know the mother's name, but her son's name was Samson. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1, an angel of the Lord appeared in the temple to Zacharias. He was told that his wife Elizabeth would bear a son, and they were to call him John. Of course, the greatest reveal was to the Virgin Mary. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to Mary. Gabriel told Mary that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and she would conceive. The Holy One to be born would be called the Son of God. Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Mary was the blessed mother of God. In all the ways that God could have chosen to come to earth, God chose to be born as a baby, as God's son Jesus. Like all humans born on this earth, Jesus was entrusted into the care of a mother. He was dependent upon her for nourishment, warmth, comfort, breath, for life. Like all mothers, Mary went through the pain of childbirth. Like all babies, Jesus left her surrounding of comfort and was thrust into the world. No wonder we cry. When I saw a photo of the newborn Jessie Lee Sims, I smiled at her in her little pink and white sleeper with a white cap with a pink bow on her head. She was stretched out her full 19 inches long. She looked so pleased to be able to stretch out in her new world. No doubt, like all little ones, Jesus continued to be dependent upon his mother for nourishment and care. In the second chapter of Luke, verses 51 through 52, we read, "In Nazareth, Jesus was subject or obedient to his mother and father. His mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. As Jesus grew and matured to be a man, it became time for him to do the work of his heavenly Father, the work he'd been called to do. It was his mission, his purpose, his plan for him coming, the very reason for which Jesus had been born. As Jesus preached the good news of the love of God, the forgiveness of sins, healed the sick, cast out demons, fed the hungry, he called disciples to follow him, he showed the way to eternal life. He pleased many people. He angered others and at times confused his family." Luke 8, 19 through 20, his mother and brothers came to Jesus. They could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told by Jesus. They said, "Your mother and your brothers, they're standing outside desiring to see you." In Mark 6, 3, we read, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" Jesus had a family, a mother, brothers, sisters. We assume by this time that his earthly father, Joseph, was deceased. The implication is that his family had become concerned. He was traveling with long days of preaching, teaching, and healing. Often there was little to eat, nowhere to sleep. Also, Jesus was angering the Jewish religious leaders. They considered his work to be of the devil rather than of God. Jesus' family wanted him home. Surely a respite was okay. To the information that his family was waiting outside desiring to see him, Jesus answered, "My mother and my brother are those who hear the word of God and do it." Like Deborah, who, as far as we know, never physically birthed a child, but arose as a mother of Israel, we can arise as a mother to Jesus. Like Jonathan, who is not a physical brother of David, we can be closer than a brother. Jesus' family is comprised of people who will listen and hear the word of God and will do it. It's people who will pattern their life after the life of Jesus. The role of mother is an honor and privilege. Being the mother of Jesus was a great honor and privilege for Mary. This kind of honor and privilege is attainable for anyone willing to hear and obey God. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for friends. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help me to be your mother and brother. Amen.